In the book of John, chapter number 6 this morning. In the book of John, chapter number 6. There's two verses of scripture that's heavy on my heart. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. I was going to make announcements and give way to some testimony time, but I'm telling God's all over me preaching right now, and I'm going to have to just do it. So everybody else and whatever else, you're just going to have to wait. Amen. I was teaching, and I've got to teach Sunday school in the youth class. I wish some of y'all would come down there. We've had a pretty good class. We've got to teach. Been looking through the book of Judges, and this morning we taught about when Lefty stabbed Hefty. Y'all have been there this morning. Amen. We had a good time down there, and Hefty represents the flesh. And Lefty stabbed Hefty and put him down. I'm telling you this morning, Lefty needs to stab Hefty again. The flesh needs to put down what we think ought to be done, what we think how it ought to be done. What matters is how God wants it done. In John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus has been speaking some hard words. Verse 66, the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? I want to preach on this thought today. How far are you willing to go with Jesus? Will you also go away? What will it take to get you to fall out and quit? What will it take to pull you right out of a place where God's trying to feed your soul? The devil's looking for that today. He's doing the best he can to find it, to pull you away and put you in a place where you can't get help. Father, would you touch us to preach this morning? And I ask, Father, your favor, your blessing. Help us, God, that we might see truth and that we might have fellowship and worship Jesus Christ. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It was at that point that Simon Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And we see the disciples of Jesus, there's dissension amongst them. And we see in verse 66 that there's desertion amongst them. They're just, when it got tough, when they didn't agree, when they didn't like it anymore, what Jesus was teaching and preaching, they just didn't about face and walked off and just coldly and cruelly went somewhere else. They deserted him. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 9, we read more about disciples who were walking with the Lord Jesus. I want to read to you in Luke, chapter 9, in verse number 57. There's been great crowds following the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, many more followers that he had than just the 12 disciples he called. He had many other disciples, people who were following Jesus. You might say this morning that you are a follower. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. This disciple comes and pledges his full support to Jesus. And with his communication, I believe he's saying, I'm ready and I'm willing to go all the way with you, Jesus. But Jesus says, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. I created everything that crawls and creeps and climbs and chews. I created the streams and the skies and the sunshine. But even the animals have it better than Jesus did. He had no place to pillow his head. Last night, hopefully you had a sort of perfect sleeper and a big fluffy pillow
to fluff your head up on, to fluff up and lay your head upon that you might get rest. I mean, I had a dream last night that I was eating a marshmallow. When I woke up, my half of my pillow, I was trying to swallow it. God's been good and lets us have earthly comforts. But Jesus said, if you're following me for earthly comforts, you'll not find any earthly comforts. I have no earthly comforts to offer you. He's saying to this disciple, will you also go away? Because there's an uncounted cost in your life. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be hardships. You're not going to be given everything the world is given. Will you continue on with Jesus? Jesus knew this man joined up as a disciple for the enthusiasm and the thrill, and he had not counted the cost. Listen to this verse, John 15, 20. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus had stripped himself of his glory, all of his wealth, and came to this earth to die in shame upon the cross so a wicked, poverty-stricken sinner such as me might be found rich in grace and rich in mercy that I might go to heaven. And the devil, oh, listen, he'll do what he can to pull you out, and you, listen, you'll not have the comforts of this world when you follow Jesus. In verse 59, there's another one. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus turns to another disciple and says, follow me. And he just heard the last conversation that you wouldn't have the comforts and the cares of this world. And he, hearing that, said, oh yeah, I will follow you, Lord, but I need to go first and bury my father. Now that sounds like a legitimate request. It is certainly reasonable for someone to go and attend their father's funeral. But the problem is, if the father had been dead, he wouldn't even be there with Jesus. His daddy is not even dead yet. In fact, he might not even be sick. And he says, Lord, I'll follow you, but I need to bury my daddy. His daddy is an unburied corpse. And you know, the oldest in those days received a double portion of the inheritance. And he would take that double portion, and his responsibility would be to bury mom and dad. And his dad's not even sick yet. So what he's saying is, before I follow you, Jesus, I need to make sure and get my inheritance so I can get the comforts and the cares of this world. Then I'll follow you. Then I'll make it. Well, preacher, we don't know that he was the oldest. You're right, he could have been a younger child. For the younger children, they are considered dead to the responsibility of burying mom and dad. So if the oldest says, I'm not going to bury mom and dad, I'm passing that responsibility on to the other children, now it falls on them, and they're going to get that portion. Hear me. There are many this morning that I'd rather hang out with mom and dad then follow Jesus to the house of God Sunday morning and Sunday night. They'd rather hang out with mom and dad than go and read their Bible and pray and serve Jesus Christ. Jesus said, seek me first. And this man said, suffer me first. Hey, Jesus is either first or you are first. I'm sure he deserves the preeminence. Verse 61. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. You see, there it is again. Me first. Go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. It's his family. Well, that's a legitimate request to go home and to say goodbye to his family, to kiss his wife, hug his children. Sounds good. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, this is an unforsaken circle. His family is drawing him away from the things of God, pulling him away from following Jesus. That is a real concern this morning. The priority that Christ says is if you put your hand to the plow, you don't need to be looking back at your family. You don't need to be looking back and hanging with your friends. You need to be following Jesus every single step of the way. Today, we see the plowing of the uncommitted. People now are not committed to Jesus, and as they plow, they're looking at their family, they're looking at their friends, and if you'll look, we're not plowing straight anymore. We're compromising. We're deviating. Well, the Lord says, preach on this subject. Well, I can't preach on that subject, Lord, but I'll get on something else. And you left out whatever he told you to preach on, you just turned it into your own message. Lord, you told me to be faithful to you, but I don't know if I really can do that and go with you all the way. So I'll just, and you look back at the row you plowed, and you see the compromise in your life. It is absolutely scary. So we see with these three, an uncounted cost, an unburied corpse, and an unforsaken circle. Number four, and I'm done. I think about unfaithful commitments. I believe the saddest tragedy of our hour is the lack of dedication and commitment by the people of God. It is always suffer me first. When it's convenient, I'll follow you, but first, I've got things to do. I've got to do what I've got to do. Let me have my way, then I will follow you. Will you hear me, church? I know it's not popular preaching. I may have to amen myself. But if Jesus is not preeminent, if he doesn't have first place, he will not have any place. Jesus never comes next. So I have a question. How far are you willing to go with God? Well, in John chapter 6 that I read to you, he had fed the multitudes. 5,000, not to mention the women and the children that were there. And they took up 12 baskets full and of fragments and began to talk to him about bread, and he's the living bread. And when the baskets of leftovers were taken up, that crowd turned and departed from the Lord. So what they're saying is, Lord, I'm willing to follow you as low as you furnish the fish and the loaves. And when the fish and the loaves run out, goodbye, Jesus. Lord, as long as you take care of my every desire, I'll serve you. But the minute I don't get what I want, goodbye, Jesus. Someone says, well, I'll serve him till the funeral of my father. Then I'll blame him because he took my father away. Other people on the prayer list got healed, but my daddy didn't get healed. Now I'm mad about it. And now you've got a grudge against God. That's not going to do you a whole lot of good. I'm sure he can outweigh you. You know, some of you, you'll serve him till your family interferes. Some of you will serve him till your fortune is touched. The rich young ruler, go sell what you have. Give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Can't do that. I don't want to give. It's my money. I work hard on that job. I had to sweat this week. I'm not giving a tithe. I'll serve Jesus, but I ain't tithing. I'll serve Jesus, but I ain't giving. Honey, he gives to you and has blessed you beyond measure. And you'll serve him till the finances get touched. Oh, there's some that'll serve him, but they serve him, hear me, they serve him until fear grips their heart. And when fear comes, they quit. I think about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They were followers of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. I wonder, are there people this morning amongst your friends that you work with, amongst your friends that you hang out with, are you serving Jesus secretly? They don't know by the way you talk. They don't know by the things you do that you're any different than they are. You're afraid to give the testimony that Jesus has saved you. And so what you're saying is, I'll serve Jesus until it brings fear out in my life of what my fellow man may think about me. The disciples followed Jesus for 3.5 years. And when he was arrested in the garden, and when he was taken to stand before the chief priests and the elders, and then he was taken to stand before Pilate, the Bible says of the disciples that they all forsook him and they fled. Why? They were afraid. You are living in a day and age in which politically and socially the world shall come against the church. How long will you stay with Jesus? How long will you keep serving him? How long will you keep preaching? How long will you keep handing out tracts? How long will you keep praying? As long as they let me. No, honey, you need to serve Jesus as long as your F-A-I-T-H, your faith, will afford you. Jesus will take you all the way if you'll place your faith in him. There is a tremendous lack of faith among preachers, among singers. Oh, they'll preach, they'll sing, and the minute they walk out the door, it's a whole other ball game. There's a tremendous lack of faith among Sunday school teachers, among deacons, among choir leaders. They'll sing about Jesus in church when it's a good time and everybody's accepting, but when you go out there, you don't want to witness, you don't want to testify, and you don't want to live for Jesus. We live in a day and age when men are turning to Congress and to Washington and the Supreme Court rather than turning to Jesus. You're looking to the government for a bailout, and you need to look to Jesus. It was not the Romans that fed the 5,000. It was not the Jews or the religious leaders that fed the 5,000. Honey, it was Jesus that fed them. You need to keep serving him and turning to Jesus. We have got to the point to where we have turned to a bottle rather than turning to the Bible. When you get discouraged and, man, you've got the sorrows and the blues and you're depressed and your wife's left and your husband said bad things and your children got upset, you'll go out and turn to a bottle rather than getting a hold of a Bible verse. Something is bad wrong when we consider money more than we consider the Messiah. We turn to the world and the wickedness rather than to the wonderful one. We must turn to Jesus. But Jesus is very own disciples that he fed and took care of when the going got hard, when something happened that they didn't like and they were so easily offended, away they went, whisked away by the world. I'm talking to you. I may not see you for a month. So while I've got you here, I'm going to preach to you now. Why are you saying I won't come back for a month? Because probably when I preach a hard message, you're going to desert me and there's going to be dissension and I won't see you. So while you're here captive, somebody go lock the doors. We're going to talk about turning to Jesus while we can. Amen. I preached all week long to an 85, 90 degree weather, pouring the rain some nights, and here you sit in an air conditioned building on padded pews and you think you're suffering for Jesus. Honey, we have no idea what it's like to suffer for Jesus, but the day may be coming that we have to suffer for serving Jesus Christ. And the devil will do all he can to get you to turn away from the Lord. How far are you willing to go with the Lord? Enoch, how far are you willing to go with God? Well, I'm willing to go with him all the way, even if I have to walk to a place called heaven. And one day, as Enoch walked with God, God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are your house. And one day, Enoch was not, because God took him. Yeah. Noah, how far will you go with God? I'll go with him through the flood. 40 days and 40 nights it rained upon the earth. God drowned every man, woman, boy, and girl that didn't get on that ark. He drowned every animal, except there was 2, male and female, of the unclean. And there was, listen, seven pairs of the clean that got on board that vessel. And Noah endured the floods that he might go with God. And I'm going to tell you something. Though the flood was bad and though the flood was terrible, I think that it was even worse to endure 120 years flood of criticism, flood of rejection, flood of persecution. You know how it feels when somebody talks about you. They posted one little thing on Facebook and you wilted. They've told all their friends what they think about you and you quit. But not Noah, honey. He had a task to do. And he said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you post. I'm going to go with God all the way through the flood of rejection and the flood of criticism. Thank God for a man who is willing to go all the way for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Elijah, how far are you willing to go with God? I'm willing to go stand before King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and I'm willing to tell them, woo, that the great God of glory, who's in charge of the water supply, has said for 42 months, it's not going to rain another drop, and there'll be no dew. And Ahab and Jezebel laughed. You're honest. You imagine getting in the face of the president of the United States of America at this day and time. All the security clearances you'd have to get through, and to have the audacity and to have the courage and the faith to stand in his face and say, sir, because of your wicked policies, sir, because of your wicked ways and doings, God's going to drop the earth off the drop the water off the United States for 42 months. I imagine you'd probably get locked up and thrown in some Ford prison somewhere. But Elijah was willing to go stand before the king and go all the way with God. When he walked off, he went down by the brook. And then he left there and went over to Zarephath. And one day God said, you go back and tell him that it's going to rain again. When he went back down there, he said, you got 450 prophets of Baal. You got 400 prophets of the grove. I want you to gather them all in all of Israel. I'm willing to go to the top of Mount Carmel. And he went to the top of Mount Carmel and he said, when we're going to build us an altar and cut a sacrifice up and we're going to call on our God, and the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And that wicked Christ, that wicked crowd could not cause anything to happen. And Elijah, he built the altar, my turn, laid the sacrifice out, dug a trench all the way around it, poured water in it, put stones around it, and 12 barrels of water he poured on it. Did I mention it hadn't rained for 42 months? Did I mention that water would be a real commodity when it's not rained for 42 months? There's got to be a water shortage. But the water commissioner of heaven told Elijah, it's getting ready to rain. Them 12 barrels of water, you're not going to need them. Just dump them out and trust me. 12 barrels of precious cargo he poured on the water. He began to pray. 63 words I counted. And the God of all glory began to answer by fire. Let me tell you something. I believe Elijah looked at that crowd and said, y'all better back up unless you want to get your eyebrows singed off. God's getting ready to answer by fire. That's how far that Elijah was willing to go with God. Hey, Daniel, how far are you willing to go with God? They've made a law that you can't go to church. They've made a law that you can't even pray in the name of God Almighty. Daniel, how far are you willing to go with God now? He said, you just watch me. He went over to the window. He unlatched it, threw her wide open, and he said, oh, God of glory, the great I am that I am, I'm calling upon your name. And they went all the way with God. What happened to him? They arrested him. Throwed him in jail. Wasn't a normal jail. Was a den of lions. Throwed him in the den of lions. He fluffed up a lion mane, slept all night. God kept him nice and warm, kept him safe. And the next morning when they opened the den of lions, there he was safe. The king said, hey, Daniel, did the gods you serve preserve you through the night? Oh, king, live forever. God has sent his angel since he was found in me. It pays to serve God. How far are you willing to go with God? There are men and women who are willing to go every step of the way. I got to skip forward. Paul, how far are you willing to go with God? I'm willing to go till they stone me to death and leave me for dead in the street. I'm willing to go through the shipwrecks. I'm willing to go through the hardships, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen. I'm willing to go through rejection and hardship. I'll preach to big crowds. I'll preach to small crowds. I'll preach to crowds that throw rocks. I'll preach to crowds that throw tomatoes, amen. But I'm going to go with God every step of the way. I'll go to the prison cell. And when I'm chained up between the guards there, I'm going to try to win them to Jesus. And when the sentence of death hangs over my head, I'm going to be faithful to God every step of the way, and I'm going to finish my course. What is it that's got water in your boat and caused you to become unfaithful? Caused you to start getting bleary-eyed and not wanting to serve God faithfully anymore? What is it? Why in the world, if great men of faith would go all the way with Jesus, all the way for God, why can't you? For some of us, we don't have enough faith to go 5 miles down the road and get in the house of God. Well, it just depends. I'm going to tell you something. Here's our problem. Some of us, we're just like Eve. We're only going to go with God until the devil offers us something better. Some of us are like Jacob. We're only going to go with God until the opportunity to betray our brother presents itself. And then we'll cut his throat and run him down behind his back at every opportunity. Some of us are so filled with jealousy and envy and malice, we can't accomplish anything for God. Our churches are filled with your pride, filled with our position. Who cares who does what as long as Jesus gets the glory? So many of us, we're just like Lot. You remember Lot? Abraham and Lot, there arose dissension amongst the tribesmen because the ground couldn't bear. They got so great and so big, the ground couldn't bear them all. So Abraham said, Lot, you choose one way, I'll take the other. And the Bible says that Lot lifted his eyes towards a well-watered plain. He said, I'm going to take my herds down there. There's plenty of grass for them to eat and to chew on. That's what I'm going to take. Abraham said, I'll take what's left. He lifted his eyes to the hills and he saw grace. Some of you, let me tell you what your problem is. You're looking for grass when you ought to come looking for grace. You're looking for the cares and the comforts of this world. You want it to be this way and that way. But honey, it's not like that when you serve Jesus. He wants you to go with him all the way. Some of us are like Achan. We will follow until we have the goods of gold and silver and a closet full of garments. And when we get gold, when we get silver, when we get successful, when we get plenty good clothes, then we're in church when we want to be and out of church the rest of the time. I know I'm preaching it right this morning. Some of us are like Demas. The Bible says that Demas followed the love of the world rather than following with the man of God. The Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What is it that's pulled you? What is it that's pulling your family away from the things of God? What is it? You look and see if there's not some flesh, some world, some demon activity behind it trying to do its best to cause you to be afraid and to cause you to quit and to stumble. I'm just saying this morning, I believe with all my heart, how far are you willing to go? Are you going to go away from Jesus? Or are you going to go with Jesus? Last night I'm preaching in a camp meeting. I had Brother Remington. He went with me every night. Drove me every mile of the way. When you see him, thank him. Appreciate him. Hug his neck. Because I was tired and bleary. and not much company. But thank God for that boy. And last night I was preaching, and I was going to bring out that purple robe and have that purple robe saying, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Remington said, Preacher Darren, you want me to wear that robe? I could have put it on a chair. I could have put it on the pulpit. But I said, Remington, I'd love for you to wear that robe. I think it'd be a real effect. And when I got to point number four, out of the back came Remington wearing that purple robe, dressed up like our Savior. And he walked up on this side of the platform, and he stood there with his back turned to him while I preached as hard as I could for about 45 straight minutes. People worshiping, calling on the name of the Lord, praising him and thanking him. But many still sat in their seats, sat on their hands, and just kind of looked like, what are you doing? Listen, what will you do with Jesus? Jesus is here. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he's present. And he's here with us right now. What will you do with Jesus? Would you thank him? Would you praise him? Would you glorify? Would you honor? Would you magnify? Would you have a prayer request? Is there a need? Is there a burden that you need to present to him? But many just sit there. So what? Big deal. And this is what I saw. I hadn't planned on this part. At the end of the service, after everything was done, Edmonton turned to walk out of the congregation. It represented Jesus departing, leaving. And man, I'll just be honest with you, I wanted to follow him. If I'd have done what I ought to have done, I'd have jumped off that platform and I'd have followed Jesus as he went out of that place. And I stopped and said this, there are many of you today that have an opportunity to worship the Lord, but for whatever reason, you won't. I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's your position. I don't know if it's public opinion. I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's about your finances. I don't know if it's about your family. But something is hindering you from worshiping and thanking him and calling upon his most holy name. And he just left the building and nobody's concerned. What happens tonight if your girl makes a phone call at 2 in the morning and says, Mama, Daddy, we've been in a wreck. Your grandchildren are just hanging on to life. I'm cut up, but I'm still alive. You would have thought, why didn't I ask Jesus to protect my little family when he stood before me? When you need to get a prayer through, you said, Jesus, just depart. You remember that crowd when Jesus cast the demon out? And the demons ran into the hogs? And they told Jesus, after the hogs committed suicide, they said, depart from us. Not because they were unworthy or undeserving of his presence, because they'd rather have pigs. They'd rather have bacon. They'd rather have food and finances as to have Jesus. I'll tell you something. I'm at a crossroads. I want Jesus and I want to follow him. I want to be affiliated with a church that says we're going for the wonderful name of Jesus and to praise his holy name. I'm telling you, if Jesus says to the church around here, I'm departing, I'm leaving, I'm going too. I don't aim to stick around for religion and formality and ceremony and singing a few songs and giving 3 points in an outline. I'm here to worship Jesus. I'm here to present him faultless, the darling Son of God who arose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, who saved my soul, forgave my sins, saved my family, and promised me heaven. And I don't care if you don't like it or lump it. Amen. I want to go with Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to go with him as far as my faith will carry me. I don't want to quit because of finances. I don't want to quit because of fear. I don't want to quit because of family worries. I don't want to quit because friends are mad at me. I want to go with Jesus all the way.
Amen.
I ask you to stand this morning. Brother Seth, if you come play. I had more illustrations, but I'm not going to go there. It's quit. Hey, somebody here say, Lord, My prayer request didn't turn out like I wanted to. I thought this and this and this, and I've been destroyed. I've been crushed under the weight of it. But Lord, I don't have to have my way. It's not me first. Lord, I have to put you first. And when you're more important than my prayer request and my prayer list, when you're more important in my life than my family, my wife needs to be second. My children need to be second. The ministry of this church must be second. Jesus must be first. And honey, when he's first, watch what he'll do. Have you minded the Lord today? Oh, my, have you minded the Lord today? Father, this morning, we bow before you and we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I want to admit to you, oftentimes in my flesh and according to the ways of this world, I scratch my head and don't understand and often listen to what the devil has to say and what the flesh has to say. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us not to listen to them, but to listen to Jesus, listen to his word, to turn to Christ at every opportunity. Say yes to Jesus at every opportunity. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be found faithful, to be willing to go with Jesus just a little further. Oh, God, would you touch this church? God, would you save sinners? God, would you reclaim the backslider? God, would you restore? God, would you replenish? God, would you saturate us with the presence of the Son of God? Lord, we desire your help. In Jesus' worthy name we pray and ask. Amen.